Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, July 12th. We're glad you're tuned in and listening over WSOF and WAJJ Radio, and we're glad to be able to send out these broadcasts via the radio. And I thank the Lord for the good night we had in the Lord's house last night, the blessings of the Lord today. We've been mightily blessed. Amen. And a lot to thank God for. Amen. Well, let me mention just a good announcement here to make. I mentioned something about it this morning. We talked about it in church yesterday. But right before our church services started last night, Joshua Shepherd had made a surprise trip out to Kansas and surprised Katie. And he surprised her with a ring and a proposal, and she accepted. So he sent us a text right before service, and now I've heard they put that on officially on the Facebook page now that they are engaged. Amen. And so be setting a date in the near future, and you pray for Joshua and Katie. He's coming back tomorrow, and we'll be here sometime tomorrow, and you pray for him as he makes that trip, that God bless and help in that. All right. Well, it's prayer time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless and help today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the good news as Joshua has proposed to Katie, as she has accepted. And Lord, they seem to make a good couple. I pray that you'd put things together there in accordance to thy will. You'd bless them and help them. Also, think about Joshua Bell. He's getting married this weekend. Lord, I pray bless in that. And Lord, put your hand in that and help there as well. Father, I pray for Joshua Shepherd as he's traveling back. Give him safety and take care of him. And then, Lord, as the Rudds are traveling out today, I pray give them safety and take them in home safe as well. And then, Lord, other needs we have, Brother Hall and Sister Hall, as they're traveling, Lord, would you be with them and bless them and the Bells and the different ones that will be there. I pray bless them and help them in that as well. Bless the program, and Lord, today we pray. Use it for your glory and honor. I pray that the good seed fall in good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray your work be done and you get the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. All right, we've got two songs we want to play before we go to the message found in Malachi chapter number 2 again. But before we do, as I said, two songs. First of all, a song by the Roten and Arnold family, one of my favorites that they sing, one entitled I Will Trade the Old Cross for a Crown. And then we got the Shepherd family singing one a cappella song entitled Farther On. Hope these two songs be a blessing to you. Then the message. Turn to Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 17. We'll start up our text from there again preaching. Let me say right off as I start that it was brought to my attention. Somebody wrote in a letter to the radio station and informed me. I did make a mistake last Sunday. I don't remember if it's Sunday morning or Sunday night. But I was preaching about Jesus coming suddenly into his temple. And I made the comment that he came into his temple when he was 8 days old, when he would have been circumcised. And I misspoke that. That's not correct. He would have been circumcised probably at home because there was 40 days of purification for his mother. Not, he didn't need to be purified, but she had 40 days of purification before she could go into the temple. And in Luke chapter number 2, it says that plainly, that after the days of her purification were over, then they went into the temple. And so whoever wrote the letter, they didn't put their name, and they asked me not to think they were being a smart aleck, and I didn't take it that. It didn't seem to have that spirit about it. But I wanted to mention that it was a mistake. I do want to be correct in what I say. Amen. And I believe that is important. But I'm glad he did enter into his temple. Amen. As a 40-day-old baby, the devil couldn't stop him. Amen. And I thought a little bit later, I told Brother Hall at the hospital on Monday, I got thinking about it, that temple was called Herod's temple, but the Lord said it was his temple. Amen. And he went in there in spite of Herod and the whole crowd. Amen. And I'm glad that is right. Amen. Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 17. He said, ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's read on down through verse 6, because these will be my text verses for today. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, today we're entering into our study of the last section of this book. I mentioned that the first section, the first two chapters deal with the Lord's complaint, and the last two chapters deal with the Lord's coming. Now, we began looking at this last Sunday, and for two services, Sunday morning and Sunday night, we looked at verse number 1. I mentioned five specific things out of verse number 1 that I wanted to bring to your attention. I'm going to look again just a little bit at verse number 1, but I won't deal with it lengthily and won't stay with it too long. But I'll say this, you may remember that Malachi's message concerning the coming of the Lord, I mentioned that it's going to entail two parts. That he's coming to deal in judgment with sinners. And he's coming to deal in justice with the saints. And Israel was all concerned and all bothered with the fact that it seemed like all the heathen were prospering, and that the people that had God's word and the people that had the temple, the people that knew God were floundering. They were in poverty while the rest of the world was in prosperity, it seemed to be. And so they complained that where is the God of judgment? Why doesn't God judge the heathen? Why doesn't God help those that are righteous? And the Lord said to them, I am coming. When I come, I am going to deal in judgment with the sinner. And I am going to deal in justice with the saint. But what he's warning them is that when he deals with sin, he does not just deal with the sin of everybody else. He deals with us. Amen. With us personally and particularly. Amen. Now he was coming. His coming was going to be in two parts as well. He was coming as the sacrificial lamb that would die for the sins of mankind. But he's going to come also as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And so that is a twofold part. And he's going to reign on the throne of David there for 1,000 years. Amen. And when Malachi prophesied about his coming, he jumps from the first coming to the second coming with no space of time in between. And you've probably heard it said this way, but it's right. Take a picture, and Clarence Larkin did it this way in his drawings. He'd have a picture of a prophet standing on a mountaintop with an eyeglass as he's looking over the ages of time. And he saw only mountain peaks, and he did not see the valleys in between. And so he saw the peak of the coming of the Lord, and then again the peak of the second coming of the Lord, and did not recognize this space that is in between, in which we call the church age. Amen. And I'm glad for the church age, because that's where the Gentiles got in. Amen. Amen. Malachi is dealing primarily with the Jews, and so he doesn't deal with this time of the Gentiles, so to speak. But he goes from the first coming to the second coming very quickly. In verse number 1, he mentions the messenger which is to come, which is John the Baptist that preceded the first coming of the Lord. And then he jumps to Messiah's second coming, the coming in judgment. Amen. Malachi is dealing specifically, as I said, with the nation of Israel. He's using the 70 weeks of Daniel, and he does not recognize the cutoff time and the intermission time in that time frame of the 69th to the 70th week. He did not see that. But this 70th week and this dealing with Israel will not be reinstated until the rapture, when the Lord comes back to take His children out, amen, to catch His church away, and to take His bride to be with Him, amen. And so I'm glad I'm part of that, aren't you, amen? Glad I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm ready for the Lord to come, amen. This could very well be the year that Jesus Christ could come, amen. He's going to deal with their ungodly actions. That's in the first 6 verses that I read to you today in chapter 3. Then he's going to deal with the ungodly in their attitude in chapters 3, verses 7 through 12. And then he's going to deal with the ungodly in their arguments.
and that's the last part of the book. The thing about that Fuller's soap is that it gets down in the fibers of the fabric. Amen. I'm glad salvation washes us from the inside out. Praise God. Amen. And this is dealing with His judgment, and His judgment is going to be a thorough judgment. It's going to be a throughly judgment. Amen. He's going to judge us completely. Not just the outward, not just the actions, but the inward, the attitudes, and all those things that go with it. Amen. But God does not only deal with Israel for national salvation, but He deals with them as individuals. Amen. And I believe there were some individuals that were looking for Him. He talked about the Lord whom ye delight in is coming. And He mentions little places there's, and it sounds to me like it's just a small remnant. It's a small minority that were looking for Him. By the way, when Jesus came and they carried Him to the temple, you remember there's a woman there named Anna and there's a man there named Simeon. They were both old people, but they were looking and longing for the redemption of Israel. Those shepherds apparently were looking and longing for the redemption of Israel. There were the wise men that were from afar that were looking for the King that was to come. And so there was some that was looking for Him. And so some of the Jews did believe. Thank God they did. God didn't cast them all away. God didn't cut them all the way off, no, but He's still saving them. But the only way they can be saved is the same way we get saved, and that is by grace through faith. Amen. That's the only way they can be saved. So God's dealing with individuals. And I want you to notice here that this is the part that Israel rejected. Israel wanted the Messiah to come and deliver them from the Romans, but they didn't want Him dealing with their sin. Amen. They wanted Him to come and deal with their state, but they didn't want Him to come and deal with their soul. Amen. They wanted Him to come and help them out in their poverty, but they wasn't willing for Him to deal with them in their position. Amen. And what they needed from the Lord was that help from the inside. And so He said He's going to purge them. He's going to cleanse them, but He's going to do it thoroughly. Amen. Or throughly. Amen. Now, one of the signs that God gave, God's intentions to deal with Israel, both as a nation and as individuals, is in verse 3, where He said, He shall purify the sons of Levi. Now, I don't believe He's just talking about the priest. That's who He's dealing with primarily. But I believe what He's saying is this. I'm dealing with the nation, but I'm dealing with individuals in that nation. I'm dealing with those that are the descendants of men in that nation. Amen. And God is still dealing personally with us today. Look at verse number 5, and He goes into that more personal dealing in verse number 5. And I will come near to you. Oh my, wait just a minute. I hear some of them saying, Lord, we wanted You to come and deal with Babylon, not come to me. Lord, we wanted You to come and deal with the Persians, not come and deal with me. There's a lot of people go to the house of God and they got it in their mind. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God really needs to deal with my loved one. God needs to deal with my friend. God needs to deal with so and so. And they don't recognize God wants to deal with you. Amen. He deals with individuals. And by the way, when God speaks to you, He probably very seldom speaks to you about somebody else. He more than likely speaks to you about yourself. Isn't that right? I remember what Brother Albert Hardin said years ago. Well, it ain't been that many years ago, but a few years ago, I'll never forget. Y'all remember that he resigned his church there in Chesney, and shortly after that, his house caught fire, and his wife burned up in the fire, and he went through some health problems, and he said it, pulpit at Vision, I believe. And he made this statement. He said that he was somewhere, or got word that somewhere that another preacher said, I know why that Albert Hardin's going through the trouble he's going through. Said, God's judging him. He said, that preacher said, God's chastening him for resigning that church. Never resigned that church. And Brother Hardin said, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, he may be right. You may be judging me. But he said, Lord, if it is You judging me, please, next time, tell me and not some preacher in another state. Amen. I say amen to that. Amen. I believe when God deals with us, He'll tell us why He's dealing with us. Amen. I remember how my dad would do. My dad would jerk me up by the hair of my head or by my arm, and he'd say, come here, boy. And I knew He was dealing with me and why He is dealing with me. Amen. I'm telling you, when God comes and He deals with us in sin, don't look over your shoulder at who might be behind you, because He might not be speaking to the one behind you, but He's interested in speaking to me and you and to our heart and our circumstance. Amen. Well, he said, I will come near to you, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. This was God's response to the unbelieving slander of the nation of Israel in chapter 2, verse 17, when they said, "Where is the God of judgment?" God said, "All right, I'm coming, and I'll be closer to you than you think." He'll be closer to them than is comfortable. Amen. Now, they asked that question as if God was completely removed from human affairs. You know, there's people that actually believe that. There are people that say, you know, if there is a God, He's so far out there that He's not even interested in us. But He is interested in us. He is such a big God. But His bigness does not make it so He's so big that He don't notice small things. His bigness is so big that He can notice the minute things, the things that nobody else even notices, He takes notice of. Amen. And so they were acting as if God was not listening and watching the human affairs. And God answers, "I will come near to you to judgment." That means He's going to get down real close to them. Amen. The judgment's going to go deep down into their heart. Amen. He's going to judge the very thoughts and the intents of their heart. Can you remember how it was when you got saved? I remember how it was with me. Came under the preaching of the Word of God. And that sword of the Spirit divides asunder. And I mean, I felt like the preacher knew things about me that nobody else knew about me. Amen. I felt like He was talking about me. Definitely had to be me that He was dealing with. And you know what it was? It was the Holy Ghost coming down near to me in His judgment. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. You know this verse. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I'm interested how that Malachi prophesied the Lord's going to come, and He did exactly what He said He's going to do. He came to the sons of Levi. Our Lord was harsher to the Pharisees and the Sadducees than He was to prostitutes and the publicans. I mean, He is cleaning out them Pharisees, them Levites, amen, them scribes that's supposed to know the Bible and claim they was upholding the Bible, but in their heart they was full of dead men's bones, what the Bible said. They was full of wickedness and ungodliness in their heart. And God said, "I'm going to judge you." And Jesus did that. He offered mercy to the harlots and the publicans, but He offered only judgment to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.